What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Welcome back to the show here. I want to wrap up finally on this Fukushima situation by reminding everybody, I mean, do I think nuclear power can be made safe? Yeah, I actually do. Do I think nuclear power can be made safe in a society dominated by money junkies? No, I do not. Because when you have a society where profitability is the overriding concern for every decision made by everybody at every level of society, no, you can't have it safe. Sooner or later, somebody cuts a corner that they shouldn't have. And that is ultimately the reason behind every major disaster. Somebody wanted to save a few bucks. For want of a nail, the space shuttle fell. So forth and so on. So that's kind of where we are. When we have a civilization whose priorities are not rooted in stockholders' reports and dividend checks and bonus checks, then we can probably go back and take a look at some of these technologies. But we have a culture that is completely dominated right now by sociopaths and money addicts, money junkies. Now, we understand that we should not allow insane people to be operating on us in the hospitals. We understand we should not allow mentally ill people to be flying airplanes. We understand that seriously mentally disturbed people ought not to be made police officers and given firearms. And yet, for some reason, we are okay with money addicts being put in charge of our financial systems and sociopaths being put in charge of the civil government. Could anything be more screwed up than that? And then we look around at our society and how it's behaving and wonder what's going on. What's going on is we have a society that, you know, gives infinite rewards of power and money to those willing to do anything to acquire it. And then we wonder why they're equally willing to do anything with it once they have it. The founding fathers had the right idea. Don't trust any individual human with power. Create a government where everybody is holding each other in check. And the state and the majority of the power that affects your daily life is in your local community, and therefore responsive to your needs and your concerns. The federal government was only supposed to be activated in time of war or when needed to arbitrate between the states. The power was supposed to be at the states and the local county level, and it should have stayed that way. But money junkies, they want everything in big, gigantic, centralized structures because that's what brings more money and power and control to them. And look at the world they've created. Toyota in Japan is now saying it's going to be months before they're able to start supplying parts to all of the Toyota factories here in Canada and the United States. And that means those factories are shut down and those workers are out of work. That's what this globalist interdependence model has resulted on. If we had factories in America making the parts for cars that are being assembled in America, then the American automotive industry right now would have been insulated from the disaster in Japan. I keep coming back to this time and time again. National borders serve the same function for planet Earth that fireproof doors do in a building and watertight bulkheads do in a ship. They contain accidents. You have a leak in one compartment, you don't lose the entire ship. You have a fire in one office, you don't lose the entire building. You have a disaster, natural or man-made, in one country, it doesn't take the rest of the planet down with it. Tearing down national borders in this rush to globalism has the same level of sanity as welding open the watertight doors on a ship or propping open the fireproof doors on a building. Yeah, everything seems to move around a lot faster for a little while until you have that first accident. And then everything is messed up. Globalism is what turned a U.S. financial scam into a global financial meltdown. Globalism is why a tsunami in Japan shuts down car factories in North America. It's a bad model. We need to reverse the trend and decentralize. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phone. Steve in Oregon. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Hey, thanks for the call. Hey, I wrote you an email a couple of days ago, a very close person of mine who I think is very intelligent and understands what's going on. Gave me some information, I sent it to you, and the next day that I found out really about it, I had to apologize. You know, I go, this information's wrong. And
I appreciate that, and I never made it public anyway because I was waiting for the confirmation, and
right.
You know, I admire the fact that you wrote in and said, I was wrong, and we need to deal with this thing, and so you did it, you handled the situation exactly correct. So apologies are necessary.
Okay, thank you, but here's the point of this story. If I had to sit here and go, man, this person is smart, intelligent, knows paperwork, knows everything, what the heck happened? You know, and I came to the conclusion. People are getting so much, even an intelligent person, are getting so much, whether they're really strong Republican, really strong Democrat, really strong for God, really strong for not God, no matter what they're getting really strong in, they will lose their common sense. They will lose the facts that sit right in front of them. It's right in front of their face. They won't even look at it. And I see it in my blogs. I see it everywhere. And I think we all need to step back and don't be so part of the groups, the churches, the Republicans, the Democrats, all this kind of stuff, and to step back and look at the facts, because this is what I see in a lot of blogs that I see. People will just dismiss facts completely because they're so strong. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. That type. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly, and this gets back to the issue where I talk about, you know, individual scientists, you know, are just human beings, you know, subject to greed, desire for promotion. We see that whether it's in the global warming stuff or the Big Bang, or now we're finding out, you know, this scientist who was leading the campaign to de-link autism from vaccines, he's been, you know, arrested and indicted for fraud now. Individual scientists are frail. That's why I keep saying scientific method is what you need to be following to try and get to the truth. And, you know, because individual humans, we're all frail, flawed creatures. And you need to basically understand scientific method. If you follow that, you're going to stay out of trouble. And even then, you know, you got to be very careful. This is why it used to be the standard for medical experimentation to do what was called double-blind studies, where you'd hire one group of people to conduct the experiment, and you don't even tell them what it is they're looking for. They're just there to record the data. Then you hire a second group to take the data and collate it, and you don't even tell them what is being looked for. And then after you have that, you look at the data and see if it supports you know, what you're trying to do. Because if you don't go through that double-blind step, people's perceptions and biases and wishful thinking are going to intrude in on there. And we saw that, of course, with this whole climate gate situation, where all, you know, all these scientists who were paid to find proof of human-caused global warming inevitably would find proof of human-caused global warming, just like all those people in the Middle Ages who were paid to find witches were finding witches left and right. And you're absolutely right in your perceptions, and that's one of the reasons we got to be careful. And, you know, and I'm not perfect either. And that's why I keep telling everybody, be your own best analysis. Don't take anybody's word for anything, not even me, because we all mess up from time to time. But if you're out there being your own analyst, and you're out there being skeptical, and you're out there deciding for yourself what truth is, then there's going to be a lot less damage to society from a population who is letting some talking head on a network tell them what to think about Iraq and Iran and so forth and so on.
Well, I appreciate you, Mike, keeping up. You're one of my go-to guys. There's not a day that I don't visit your website, and I appreciate you very much.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you come to the website, and we do try and keep it updating continuously. All right, I want to switch over to Dave in New York. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, are you there?
Yes,
Michael, you were talking early about centralization and bigness. And I'm sure some of the people out there are aware of an economic law which is called the diminishing returns to scale law, which means that you can add capital and labor to any given project, but after a while it becomes inefficient, less profitable, etc. There is something else which is a corollary to that, Michael, which is called the diminishing responsibility to scale. And as things get bigger, the less responsible things become. And I'd like anybody out there, no matter where they come from, to focus for a minute on that. Larger families are less responsible than smaller ones, etc. And it all gets back eventually to the individual, which has been sidelined in the discussion because there's only certain individuals like the Soroses and the Brzezinskis and people like that that really matter, and the rest of us are just dumb clods, according to them. But in fact, if all of us dumb clods got together and decided, well, we're going to not accept the irresponsibility of these big people, then they wouldn't be so big anymore. And that's about all I've got to say. Thank you very much. And you're, by the way, you're like the Walter Cronkite to me of modern times. You really do a superb, terrific job.
Oh, well, I'm very flattered and honored by that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But what you were saying before about large-scale systems as a way of avoiding personal responsibility, you're absolutely correct. I mean, that's inherent in the whole corporate structure, that corporations being legal personages, people who are in the corporations are not held personally liable for the faults and damage caused by corporations unless they're caught in outright criminality. And not even then, because remember when we were hearing the congressional investigations into the whole foreclosure crisis, we're seeing this situation where Congress basically came out and said, yeah, a lot of people did a lot of wrong things, but it spread so far across so many people, we don't know where to begin with prosecutions. And as a result, nobody got arrested. Nobody got thrown in jail. And, you know, you're absolutely right that this large centralized scale of operation and the law of diminishing returns, you know, it's like the old joke, if you add manpower to a late project, you're just going to make it later. All righty. So that was Dave there in New York talking about the money junkies. And, yeah, this push towards centralization, it's absolutely a disaster for people. It's great for corporations and the money junkies. But especially now, as we look at the loss of the Gulf of Mexico as a reliable source of safe food, as we look at the loss of the Pacific Ocean as a reliable source of safe, uncontaminated food, we're already seeing, my brother has had a chance to work with the people from Deadliest Catch. And privately, off the air, they're all in a panic. You know, they're dreading the day that somebody in Alaska holds up a crab and a Geiger counter on YouTube. And now we've had word there's been another major oil drilling platform blowout up in the Arctic that they're estimating might equal one quarter of the output of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And that's still a lot of oil to be pouring all over our source of food supply. They're already talking about transferring all the crab fishing operations down to the Antarctic. Apparently, there's a lot of king crab down there, and so far, the Antarctic is relatively free of the pollutants from reactor meltdowns and oil wells. It's also a very, very dangerous place to be in the waters off Antarctica in what is called this Great Loop Current that proceeds uninterrupted around planet Earth, just off of Antarctica's shores. Those are some very, very rough waters, and they're even rougher than what we see up there in the Bering Straits area. So it's going to be very, very unpleasant. But that may be the only source for crab in the near term, because crab live on the bottoms of the ocean. And as the rain brings the radioactivity from Fukushima down onto the surface of the ocean, and those isotopes sink to the bottom of the ocean, they're going to be absorbed and eaten by the bottom-dwelling sea life, which includes the crabs here. All righty, moving right along here. Interesting story came in just before we went to air here, is apparently yet again the U.S. Court of Appeals, Third Circuit, has declared that Mumia Abu-Jamal's death sentence is unconstitutional. I mean, if you have not followed this situation with Mumia, you need to familiarize yourself with it. It's like this is another Leonard Peltier case or James Earl Ray. Guy got railroaded into jail because the government needed to have – or Bruno Richard Hauptmann. There's a classic example. The government has to prove its omnipotence and infallibility by throwing somebody into jail for a really horrible crime. And they don't care if they got the right guy or not. But once he's in there, they got to keep him in there because they can never back off and admit they're wrong. Because once the government says, yeah, we wrongfully convicted somebody and we wrongfully sentenced somebody to death, then everybody starts saying, you know, there might be reason to take a look at some of these other cases that are out there, including the presumed guilt of Lee Harvey Oswald. All right, we got one more minute before the next break, I think. So Mumia's sentence has been declared unconstitutional again, and we know what's going to happen. The U.S. government will come back. They'll appeal again. This is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. But at issue here is the jury was given a set of instructions designed to guarantee a death penalty and avoid life in prison without parole, because the government wants the guy silenced. There are questions about the legitimacy of his original conviction, just as there were with Bruno Richard Hauptmann and with James Earl Ray and with Leonard Peltier. But the government can never, ever be seen to be wrong. Same situation we're dealing with the guy in Germany, the 90-year-old who's, he's a death camp guard. No, he isn't. Yes, he is, back and forth. And now they're admitting the key evidence in that case was faked, and the government knew it. So, all right, we're going to take a break here. We're down at the end of the segment. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We're going to take a break for commercials starting right about now, and we will be back after these words from our sponsors.
Oh. estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I'm getting some emails about Antarctica and people saying, well, Antarctica is clear because there are no people down there. And yes, by international treaty, Antarctica has been sort of free of exploitation. I imagine that will probably change very, very soon if it's discovered that the Antarctic Ocean it may be the last uncontaminated supply for seafood for the world right now. And they, I imagine they're down there already trying to figure out what they can do about that. The problem is, with ocean currents, sooner or later, all that radiation in the North Pacific is going to get down to the South Pacific, and it will cross into the boundaries into the Antarctic Ocean. And it is going to be a problem. They're not going to be rid of it. Now they're saying they can't even guarantee shutting off the flow of radioactivity into the ocean in 9 months' time. That's how bad that thing is getting. The situation there down in Antarctica. One good note. I don't know if you're a fan of Paul Watson and Sea Shepherds, or if you watch the Whale Wars show, which has not been picked up following the big scandal over the Adi Gill. But apparently, the Japanese whaling fleet that was the cause of Paul Watson's ire, at least during the run of this show, was heavily subsidized by the government of Japan. Ostensibly for research, but they were taking the whale meat back and selling it as the delicacy in Japan. And I don't agree with that. I don't like to eat life forms that are reasonably intelligent. You know, I'll eat the stupid animals. But you know, I stay away from animals with intelligence. I don't like, you know, whale or dolphin meat, and I stay away from squid and octopus for that very, very reason. You know, I'll eat the dumb ones like that. But these days I am leaning more and more toward vegetarianism anyway. Scotch is a vegetable, by the way. Interesting little story here. Latest Gallup poll is showing that Americans are convinced we're in a new Great Depression, despite the protestations and proclamations and propaganda of the government. Interestingly enough, the credit rating for the United States has dropped below that of Mexico. There's a warning sign for you. We're going to go back to the phones. Clarence in Oklahoma. Osseo, welcome to the show. What is on your mind, sir?
Aloha there, Mike. And I never miss your show because there's always something I won't hear anywhere else. I was thinking, you know, we talk about enslavement and slavery, and that's basically what's happening to the American people right now, only it's being done gradually like the proverbial frog in the pan, you know. And I saw something, and I thought this was interesting, just for a historical side. During the opening days of the Civil War, right after it started, of course, naturally, the Confederacy and the Confederate Army used their slaves to build their earthworks.
Yes.
And why have the soldiers do it when we got all this manpower, all these slaves, and they're digging
in? Yeah. Why have the soldiers do it now when we've got Kellogg Brown Root to do it?
Well, exactly. And it goes right to this day. So what happened, three of them ran away. And this is one of the little-known deals of the Civil War, and a fellow wrote a book about it, and I got to go look it up because I want to read the book. But what happened, three of them ran away, and there was a Union fort not far from the lines, you know, because they'd be pretty close on those lines. They ran in there, and they took them in, but they weren't sure what to do with them because of the laws at the time.
Yeah.
Their slavery was still, and people don't know, it's still legal in parts of the North and some northern
states.
Yes, it
was. Was legal in New York. Can you turn down your feed so that we don't hear my voice coming back? Once is enough for this voice.
I don't have anything on.
Okay, we've got an echo loop then somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
You're absolutely right. When they're working on Manhattan, construction crews digging foundations, every once in a while they'll find these graveyards full of slave remains. And slavery was all over the New England area in colonial times, and it wasn't even confined to blacks and Indians. There was a story, and I'm reaching back into one of the dustiest closets in my memory, so bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
But I think Cotton Mather, Pastor Cotton Mather, tried to make a deal when the Quakers were starting to show up. They didn't want the Quakers there at all. Talk about religious intolerance. Tried to basically have them captured and sold into slavery down in Barbados, if I remember correctly. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, there was a lot of slavery going on, even among white populations.
For Maple Leafs, just I'll finish it right quick because I see we're getting close here.
Yes, we are.
They had them in the fort. A Confederate colonel, rode up to the fort under a flag of truce, and he says, "You have property of the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
We want it returned." He's talking about the three slaves. Now, the commander of the fort was a Union general. I forget his name. Like I said, I should have kept the article in, but whatever. He said, he was also a lawyer, and he was thinking fast. He said, well, if they're property, then, and you're using them against us by them building earthworks, you're using them against us just as much as a shipment of firearms or swords. And if we came across those, we could seize them as contraband.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. Says, we will not release them, sir, because they are contraband. And that's where I always wondered in the World War II, more like the old John Wayne movie, The Horse Soldiers, why they called them contraband, you know, children, contraband. That was the reason why. That was their outlook. They were property, and they could be taken away from the Confederacy and seized.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, okay, that's all I wanted to say, Mike. Thanks.
All right, thanks. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more callers after these commercials.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I was checking in my records, and yeah, my memory was correct. Pastor Cotton Mather, infamous for the Salem witch trials that hung a lot of people, including one of my ancestors, entered into an agreement in 1682. He was terrified that William Penn and the Quakers were about to establish a colony in the New World, and the Quakers were the only Christian group of the time who were willing to live peacefully together with the Indians. All the other Christians were saying, God has given this land to us, get the heck off. Sounds a lot like Israel and the Palestinians. So in 1682, he entered into an agreement with Master Malachi Huskett of the Brig Porpoise to basically capture, it was a privateering venture, to capture the ship carrying William Penn and the Quakers, take it as prisoner, take them to Barbados, and sell them all into slavery. And I have a copy of the letter in which he's basically bragging about what he's doing here. So a little bit of history there. Not exactly the bright spot in the early Christian tradition in the United States of America. I got an email from a listener. I know it's not political, but are you familiar with the Stephen Truscott case in Canada? He was 12 years old Finally, the Canadian government admitted just a couple of years ago that he was innocent. The kid grew up in prison, and the person who probably committed the crime was in the Canadian military, known as a drunk and a rapist, and the military and government protected him. Just thought I would mention that. This is why I absolutely cannot support a death penalty. If you wrongfully convict somebody and put them in jail, you can eventually release them and make some restitution for their stolen youth, stolen opportunities in life, pay their medical bills for the diseases they're inevitably going to pick up in the American prisons. Maybe. And wrongful conviction is a reality of life in the United States of America. It is not rare. It is not uncommon at all. It happens. People are victimized by ambitious prosecutors or police officers who are out for a promotion or a pay raise, or they're running for election and they need somebody they can nail to the wall. Donald Trump really kind of went to town during this whole Central Park jogger case. And it turned out the people that he was screaming for the death penalty for may not have actually been guilty of a crime. There's an organization out there, I'm blanking on its name right now, they're trying to basically arrange for DNA tests for all these convicted rapists that were thrown in jail during the height of the feminist hysteria in the 1990s. A lot of them are still in jail. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, they're talking about DNA tests instantaneous when you go through the airport to make sure you're not a terrorist, and yet the government is just fighting tooth and nail for DNA tests for people who are in jail for these crimes of rape because so many of them turn out to be innocent. And it's a major embarrassment not only for the feminists, but for the government that threw these people in jail. And government right now is desperate to cling to their illusion of infallibility because every time there's another embarrassment and another mistake that is exposed, people start saying, you know, this government really does mess up. And we cannot trust the government to tell us the truth what's going on. By the way, Demjanjuk, that's the name of the guy who's in Germany right now. You need to be paying attention to his story. This is a guy moved to the United States at the end of World War II, and Israel's running around the world saying, you're a Nazi, and you're a Nazi, and you're a Nazi. And they grab these people, and they throw them in jail, and they execute a lot of them. And they grab this Demjanjuk. They said, this is Ivan the Terrible, and he was terrible, and he did horrible things to Jews in the camp. And they basically grabbed him. There were questions about the legitimacy of his extradition, just as they were with the guy that just got out of jail for 5 years for denying Ernst Zundel. There were questions about the legality of his extradition, but they took John Demjanjuk to Israel. They tried him, they convicted him, they sentenced him to death, and then just literally at the 11th hour, evidence arrived proving that the guy he was accused of being, Ivan the Terrible, had been somebody else entirely. And Israel was forced to release him and send him back to the United States of America. But, oh, no, they weren't done. Because Israel can never, ever, ever seem to be wrong about anything connected with the Holocaust. Because then people start asking, well, if you were this wrong about this guy, were you wrong about all the other things you've been telling everybody about the Holocaust? So, once again, Demjanjuk is grabbed. He's 90 years old. He's not going to live much longer anyway, but this is all about political theater to prove that when Israel says you're a Nazi and you had part of the Holocaust, that by golly, you're guilty, and even innocence cannot be used as a defense. So they got him back in Germany, and he's on trial again, and it's come out the key piece of evidence against him, this ID card on which the entire accusation against him rests, is a fake. And not only that, the FBI has known it was fake for some 20 years. But it's all political theater. They need to nail this guy and punish him and execute him because he's a Nazi. And Israel must always be seen to be right about everything connected with the Holocaust. And so they're after this guy with fraudulent evidence. And so to get back to my original point, if you throw somebody in jail and you find out you wrongfully convicted him, you can eventually let him go, and you can make some restitution. You're not going to give this person back their youth. You know, all you can do is try and here's some money, be comfortable for the rest of your life. It's the best we can do. Sorry. You know. Personally, I think when somebody gets wrongfully convicted and it's discovered, the person who convicted them, the prosecutor, ought to serve out the rest of the prison sentence. If we did that, there'd be no more wrongful convictions. But I digress. If you wrongfully convict somebody and you execute them, and you discover after the fact you had the wrong guy, or gal. You can't take it back. You cannot bring them back to life. You cannot give them the life that you took away. And it doesn't matter, it's state sanctioned. It's still a murder. And unless and until we can give back life to those it was wrongfully taken from, we shouldn't take it from anybody. And that's why I will not support a death penalty. All righty, let's see. We have George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
How you doing? Just to add on to the wrongful conviction, there's a bunch of people in the Texas and Florida prisons that are sitting in prison for shaken baby syndrome, and it was not because shaken babies, because they took their babies to go get shots at the doctors and went into seizures, and instead of blaming the vaccines, they say it's shaken baby syndrome. You heard of that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, and now we're finding out the guy who was leading all the research over at the CDC to say that vaccines don't cause seizures or autism or anything, they've just indicted him for criminal fraud.
Exactly.
It's all about protecting the money. I was unaware that people were being jailed for shaken baby syndrome where, you know, the seizures. Yeah, that's, if you could send me more on that, I want to post that. That is definitely, it's another case of let's throw people in jail rather than admit that the corporations are selling bad products.
But anyway,
apparently there's another story. I mean, pardon me for jumping around like this, but that's the kind of mood I'm in today. There was this story about this woman who stood up to ask a member of Congress questions about defunding Medicare, and she gets arrested for asking a question. I mean, that's the state we've come to in this country.
Oh, all right, to get on my original topic about corporate centralization, and this
yep.
is like yesterday I had to go get a router, and instead of going to Wally World or Slave Mart, I went to my local computer store, you know, because I figured out it's like $60 or $80 stays in the community if you shop locally with locally owned businesses compared to going to big box. So I would say people stay away from the big box and support your local merchants. And one thing I have to say for people who are still out of work listening, if you can't find a job, create your own job, because I just started my other new occupation. I'm taking old gas lawnmowers and I'm rebuilding them and selling them at a
good
price.
Good.
Create your own job.
Yeah, that's a real good thing to do. You know, like these auction hunters and American pickers and the rest of that, there are opportunities out there where you can create a whole new career for yourself. And that one about refurbishing old lawnmowers is a good one. And I'll throw another one out there. The last factory in the world that made manual non-electric typewriters has shut down. And so there is going to be a market for old manual typewriters that are bought and restored and put back into operation, because there are still places where you need to have a typewriter handy to type labels and things. Personally, I think there ought to be a manual typewriter in every post office in America or one of these private postal companies, because we're all children of the computer age and our penmanship shows it. And I think it would be really very helpful if just when you're standing in the lobby of these little mailing companies, if they had a typewriter there where you could type up your labels or whatever so that they're clear and easily read. And it just makes sense to me, if I was operating one of these little postal box companies, I'd have a typewriter right there for the customers to use. But so back to the original thing, there's going to be a demand for manual, non-electric typewriters to just have in places where you need to type out a label real quick without plugging something into the wall or a computer, and there will be a market for these restored, refurbished manual typewriters.
Exactly. Another thing about local businesses, I remember we talked last week about you know, you hear all this about you got to feel the Muslim Sharia law. And you know, the thing is, and last week I go to a store. It's owned by a Muslim, a Palestinian. And I went and got my personal license. I do smoke, I have to admit it. And and I seen a customer treat the poor girl like crap, like last time I talked.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, the customer treating. This Muslim guy stood up for his employee and told that customer, pulled that beer off the shelf and told that customer, I don't want your business. An average Christian
guy.
Yeah,
that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do here. You know, I mean, I don't know a lot of Muslims, but everyone that I do know are really swell people. And I would have no problem socializing with them and inviting them into my home. And it's quite a contrast with, you know, some of these aggressive Bible bangers who are pounding on the door and saying, have you found Jesus Christ? And I'll stand there, have you lost him again? This is the third search party you've had at my door this week. Put a chip in that guy and stop bothering me. And, you know, and this all gets back to that whole model where we're told that the Islamic republics are a danger and Iran's a danger. And yet, since 1979, when Iran became an Islamic republic, they haven't invaded anybody. And in the same interval of time, Israel has bombed and attacked and invaded Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Gaza and Lebanon again and Gaza again. And now they're sneering at making war and taking the Sinai back from Egypt. The United States is constantly invading people. So who is the threat to world peace? It certainly isn't Iran, and it certainly isn't the Muslims. You know, what we've got around here are all these phonies running around saying, I'm a Muslim and I'm coming to get you if you don't come bomb us, you schmucks. And they turn out to be like, you know, Adam Perlman or Joseph Cohen or Zachary Chesser or other phonies like this.
It's all a fraud.
It's all a fraud and a fake. They're manufacturing wars.
Because then there's like real Muslims. I hate to say it, but they, I mean, I'll say it, but I mean, I work for a Muslim. I got to say one thing. They do defend the honor of their people under them. They are honorable people.
That should be a model for all of us. We should all protect the people that are in our whether it's a family or our organization. And I have absolutely no tolerance for management that will, you know, allow their employees in a store to be attacked because they think it might, you know, affect the profit margin if they defend them. But that's not a good way to build a cohesive staff. But unfortunately, under the American model, employees, especially during these hard times, employees are considered disposable. And, you know, that's a horrible way to build the morale it takes to prosper a business here. But, you know, absolutely, the few Muslims I've known, I don't have a problem with them. I'm sure they have a problem with me because I, too, engage in behavior that Muslims would not approve of. And I don't believe in any God anywhere at all. So that probably they're not all that happy with me, but I certainly do not have a problem with them.
Well, for me, it's more like I stay out of the church. Mike, I've been excommunicated from the Christian church because I do not support Israel. Because I just say, why do I want to bless a country that's going to attack my religious freedom? Sorry, but, you know, that's the way I feel.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's, and again, look at all these tornadoes that just ripped across the heart of the United States of America, okay? If you believe that God is behind these kind of events, then God doesn't need us to go and support Israel and hate the Muslims because God will take care of it himself. If you believe what's in that Bible, anybody that God is really angry at are going to get theirs. And we don't need to send our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and put them in uniforms and go over and murder the heathens because God is perfectly capable of doing it for himself. He doesn't need our help. The God that you describe in your Bible, all-powerful, all-knowing, is perfectly capable of taking care of his own affairs. He doesn't need us to kill on his behalf. It's a fraud. So let's bring our kids back home because we need them here. We need their youth and energy and strength and inventiveness here to fix the problems with this country, not to be offered up in sacrifice for a foreign government.
Exactly. And like I say, there will be a few protests scheduled in around Houston. This time I'm grabbing a video camera, and I'm going to start asking questions.
Please do.
And start asking questions and start telling them, who's to blame? And it's all those corporate money junkies. All right,
yeah,
have a good weekend, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch to Kyle in Philadelphia. Aloha, Kyle. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Right. Hey, Mike, over here in Pennsylvania, as far as the prison system goes, we have the big problem of privatization of the prison system. And just a quick story, there's a big story here. Some kid, he was a senior in high school, he was at a graduation party, he had a scholarship to Penn State, big athlete, and he was at a party, brought at the party, he's found with less than a gram of marijuana on him.
Mm-hmm.
He goes before a judge, and judge sentences him to 3 years in a juvenile detention center. He goes in, he does his time, he comes out, he's never the same again. He lost a scholarship, he's working at Walmart or something. He hangs himself in a closet. Turns out the judge was getting kickbacks from the prison.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they for every criminal, every, you know, prisoner they get in there, they get a certain amount of money from the state, and they were kicking it back to the judge to be harsh on the punishment. So the kid's mother goes out and confronts the judge at his trial on the kickbacks. I mean, she's yelling and screaming at him, and this is all over the news. Lo and behold, the mother gets sentenced to 6 months for disturbing the peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the privatization. It's not about, you know, our prison system isn't about rehabilitation. It isn't about incarcerating the right people. It's dollars and cents. It's putting people behind bars, making money from it, and
it's slave labor camps. It's slave labor camps just like the Nazis had. We got to take a break for commercials. Kyle, I'm going to let you go. We've got one more caller and only time enough for that call. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm reading in the chat room. Somebody's talking about a baby who'd gotten a vaccination and was vomiting for like 2 days, and they tried to pin it on the babysitter, saying, oh, the baby The babysitter shook the baby, and that's the reason the baby's in trouble. It can't possibly be the vaccines, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, remember, the bill that was used to create the Department of Homeland Security included a provision that indemnifies vaccine manufacturers from lawsuits. They can put anything in those vials pumping into your arm that they want to. Snake oil, Rust-Oleum, Drano, and you can't do a thing about it. So this is a huge scandal. And, you know, it is. It's Wild West traveling medicine show morality applied to modern pharmaceuticals here. Apparently, the U.S. Congress is calling for cutting all financial aid to Palestine if Fatah and Hamas dare form a unified government. That's how scared they are of this. But, you know, if Egypt does, in fact, open that Gaza border, then Palestine is not going to need American financial aid anymore. And I think we can expect Iran and Egypt to send in financial aid to basically break that last bit of control the U.S. has over Palestine. This is a disaster for Israel. And Israel's out there crying and whining and saying, oh, you anti-Semites, it's all your fault. Going to go back to the phones. Kevin in Australia. Good day, mate. What's going on down there?
Yeah. Hi, Michael. I like your show. I take it in as often as I can. It's about 5 o'clock a.m. in the morning here.
Okay.
But anyway, getting down to the point. The problem that America is experiencing now, as far as the dishonesty and the crookedness and mm-hmm. the thievery and all the rest of it, sort of can be summed up. I mean, there are 10 little rules of life. They call the 10 commandments. If they would, you know, not steal from your neighbor, don't covet your neighbor's goods, don't bear false witness against anybody and try and put them in jail for whatever reason, be it financial
or declare war on them.
Don't happen to exactly. Yeah, don't covet their oil, don't covet their raw materials, and actually treat them well. You know, America could get on with the rest of the world quite nicely, but there seems to be, you know, crazy people in charge of the place. And all the crazy people are very, very Zionist.
Well, that's actually a big part of the problem because, and I'm gonna share something with you, and we're almost at the end of the show. I learned this from my first wife. I was married before I married this wonderful lady who's in the room next door. My first wife was Jewish, Ashkenazi, and she always used to tell me that to the Jews, the Ten Commandments only apply to other Jews. And everybody else, the cattle, the goyim, is fair game. And I thought she was kidding me. I honestly thought she was pulling my leg, and I came to find out later on that, yeah, a lot of people in Israel really believe that. The Ten Commandments only apply to other Jewish people. And everybody else, yeah, bear false witness, covet, lie, cheat, steal, whatever, it's all fair game because they're not really the same as us. And that really is a big part of the problem because for most of the rest of the world, they believe in fair play and equality. If we're going to recognize Israel's right to exist, then of necessity, we have to recognize Palestine's right to exist. But to the Israelis, they don't see it the same way. We have one set of rules for us, the chosen people, and a completely different set of rules for everybody else. And it's that inherent racism and unfairness that is at the core of the anger and outrage with Israel's policies. Kevin, I'd love to keep talking to you. We're at the end of the show for today. If you'd like to join us back on the air again, we will be here live on Monday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So have a good weekend. Until Monday, stay safe, stay well, stay angry, stay skeptical, and aloha, America.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100